disciple. And I want to read, I want to begin with what would seem like an unorthodox scripture for this text in 2 Timothy chapter 3. While you're turning there, Brother Jerry said it. He talked about recognizing the hour that we're living in. I received a message anonymously from another minister. I've been getting a lot of anonymous messages lately. And he said this, and I think this individual's texted me before. I don't know who they are. He said, God has been speaking to me about how close we are. Something is getting ready to happen on earth. Begin to talk about the scripture in Matthew 25. It said at the midnight hour, so they were aroused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. And they came out to meet him. Isaiah 51 says, wake yourself and stand up, Jerusalem. We have drunk from the hand of the Lord of the cup of his wrath. We have drunk to the dregs, the bowl, the cup of staggering. And he's went on to say that God has had him preach this everywhere he's gone. Now is the time to wake up and work for the kingdom, because the greatest harvest of the souls is getting ready to be reaped. It begins with the prodigals. And we must be the voice that wakes them up in this hour. The bridegroom is coming. Everybody feels it. If I die, I'll never know that you laughed at me for being wrong. But I am still convinced that the Lord returns in this hour. And I am absolutely convinced, I've been sharing it with you, God is bringing the harvest in. He is pulling at the hearts of people. He's calling people. And he's doing this because he is preparing for this final harvest. And it's an exciting time to be serving the Lord. And it's a dangerous time for those that are not. 2 Timothy chapter 3 reads, know this also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Boy, it's a dangerous thing to pick something else other than church on a Sunday morning. Somebody had been telling me for quite some while to watch the movie Concussion with Will Smith. So I decided to finally watch it. Very impactful movie. And this doctor from Nigeria discovered when, I know his name, he's a Pittsburgh Steeler, that he died. And he discovered what the concussions were doing to the brain. He is the one that eventually came out with this term. But the NFL just, I mean, they fought him tooth and nail. But the reason I'm telling you all that is to tell you this. They said to him, they said, Sunday used to belong to the Lord, but now it belongs to football. That gives me chills in my spine. Because it's true. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they look the part. They act the part. They sound like the part. But denying the power thereof. What we experienced here on Sunday was the power of God. He said, from such turn away, for of this sort, this is my favorite part of this text, are they which creep into houses. This sort, these types of spirits that creep into houses and they lead captive silly women, not men, women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. What that means, if you look, if you've taken any time to pay attention around you. We have more of our young and older ladies now that live in messed up relationships to the nth degree, but they won't leave it. They can't get out because the Bible says they were led captive because they did not act like a prudent woman. They acted like a silly little woman. And they were led away by their lusts. Now that doesn't necessarily mean sexual. That could be just the lust of having a male body in their life. And for you, if you're an anti-manner, I got news for you. Well, I don't care if you like it or not. You need a man of God in your life, ladies. And just because a man of God may have failed you or maybe failed, it doesn't change God's law. Now, we men got to get with the program. But, ladies, you still need a man of God. Kenny, you can't amen that. Only the ladies can. Kenny's like, that's right. And then he says, last verse, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thinking, who's praying for us? Brother Jerry, if you would. Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to piggyback off of that for a second. Is it okay if I just kind of take my time? I read this passage to a young couple last night. I'll read two verses. Proverbs 17. Now remember, we concluded that verse with that text with the verse, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 17:27 says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now watch this. I'm going to tie something in for you. Verse 28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Isn't it intriguing to you that in this text it talks about the last days? And the scripture talks about all of these things that will be in the world, all of the types of sin and spirits and disposition that men will have. Isn't it interesting that it says that they're always learning but never able to come to this knowledge? And when you parallel that with Proverbs, he that has knowledge spareth his words. So I could really say it this way, and that's not the gist of everything I want to say to you, that we could probably be saved if we just shut up and listen. The reason you have all of these things that we talked about, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, led away with diverse lusts, laden with sins. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It would appear to me that the problem in our world would just simply be discipline. Just simply discipline. When you're a disciplined person, it just seems like the world is different. Proverbs teaches us that to have knowledge is somebody who learns to discipline their mouth and learn when to speak and when not to speak. He says that's where knowledge comes from. When we learn to be listeners, we learn to be pupils. A disciple is a learner. That's who they are. You cannot be a disciple of God if you're not a learner. You've got to be one that's willing and able to learn. Teach me, show me, help me. But too many people want to have the answers. Too many people, they want to do all the teaching. They don't want to listen anymore. They have no knowledge. They're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of truth because everybody's got to be the one who's telling somebody. And that's why social media has exploded. And that's why it's destroyed us probably 10 times over by now. Because nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to speak their piece and tell their opinion and give you a piece of their mind. And that's what our world is now. It's a very undisciplined world. When I look around me, all I see is a lack of discipline. And I'm not talking to our church because I'm being honest with you. I'm not just saying this, man. I love this church and I love the people we have in this church. I don't care if you got a a mouthful of perfect teeth, unlike me. I was at camp and Brother Jimmy Stark was up there and I'm just looking, he's talking, I ain't heard a word he said. I'm just like, man, I wish I had a smile like that. So if you got perfect teeth or you got two teeth in your mouth, I don't care. We love you. I love who God has sent in this church. And I love that the people in this church are hungry. And the people in this church want to learn. And the people in this church want to grow. Do you know why that preacher was successful on Sunday? Because he was preaching to a bunch of hungry people. That's why. Sometimes we might not understand or we might not feel like that we jive with somebody's personality. But the fact of the matter is, he was preaching, thank you, to hungry people. People that want to learn. The way we avoid getting caught in the trap of some of these last day disciplinary issues is when we become a disciplined child of God. When we understand what the life of a disciple really looks like. And the life of a disciple is not undisciplined. It's not somebody who flies by the seat of their pants. It's not somebody who can never master the clock. Hey, I'm late. You know what? It happens to the best of us. But there's some people, they're just late all the time because they have no discipline in their life. They seriously lack discipline. And what scares me is you got so many people that are looking for churches, but they're not looking to be disciplined. They're just looking for somebody to make them feel good so they can think they're going to heaven. And they don't want to change anything. And that's dangerous. And so the life of a disciple is a disciplined life. From verses 1 all the way to verse 7, not one of those verses apply to a disciple of God. Not one of them. Because they've learned to discipline themselves. And again, I say to you, Proverbs 17:27 said, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. He that hath knowledge learns to shut up and listen. And it says it right there. I didn't make that up. He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Because that's how we learn. We are a disciple. We are a learner. That's who we are. That's how we become a disciple of Christ. Some of the scriptures, the examples the scripture talks about, there's a few of them in Matthew 5, and we'll see what else comes to mind. It says, I say unto you, it used to be said there was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. You know what that means, you resist not evil? That means you don't just say, you know what, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to go there because it's just going to end up in an argument. He said, don't do that. Rather, say this, whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. You'll never learn to do that until you become disciplined. And if a man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat and let him have the cloak also. That takes a lot of discipline. Somebody just drags you to court and takes half of what you got. You say, here, let me give you this too. I know the judge didn't order it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Discipline. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Man, we need to teach us that verse right there. Sometimes I have a hard time getting people to go 5 feet. And they don't offer me 10. They tell me I should be happy with 2.5. But that's not what the scripture says. See, when we become disciplined, what we do is you say, how does all this apply? Because we learn to master our emotions. We learn to master our feelings. We don't allow those things and words and actions and all that to consume us to where we begin lashing out always with our emotions and with our feelings and with reactions. We become proactive rather than just reactive. And we learn to become a child of God. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Discipline. The Bible says don't speak evil of dignitaries. But yet we got a world, they'll take anybody and everybody, especially preachers, and they'll drag them through the mud and up the stairs and down the stairs, and they'll say anything they want to say. You know why? Because they have zero discipline in their life. Zero. They'll talk about their fellow brother, their fellow sister in the Lord, and they'll scourge them verbally behind closed doors at the dinner table, and then they wonder why their kids don't want to serve God and can't go to church. And you know what happens? Once you ruin your children from going to church, then you got to figure out why you can justify that you don't need to go to church to be saved. Because you done ate everybody alive, and they have no trust and no confidence in the church. And now you got to change the whole system. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit. The Bible tells us to submit ourselves. That's hard. Try and tell somebody that's been through some type of abuse to submit themselves. But is that an excuse? It is not. I've heard people say all the time, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. That's fine. I agree. You don't know what I've gone through either. You don't know what my demons and my closets were. You don't know the things I've had to overcome, including myself my entire life. But that didn't stop me, because I wanted to be a disciple of Christ. I wanted to be a disciple of the Lord. And I understood I've got to keep, and still am today, working to discipline myself so I can be the person that God wants me to be. And this is not fun. I know you'd rather go out there and go on the water slide with the kids rather than hear someone talk to you about discipline. But if you have a desire to serve God, if you have a desire to do and be who God wants you to be, and if you want to be able to overcome some of the struggles, then you've got to understand it's vital that we become disciplined children of God, disciplined servants of the Lord, a disciplined child of God, a disciplined disciple. Learn that the life of a disciple includes discipline. So Jesus said, Scripture says, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves to those who have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to one to another. Just learn to submit yourself. Well, my God, how am I supposed to go ahead and put my life in somebody else's hand when everybody has just broken my trust my entire life? You got to learn to discipline yourself. You got to learn to put those things aside. You got to bury them deep. You got to put them under the blood. And you got to decide that you're going to be who God wants you to be. And you've got to live the life that God wants you to live. And that includes submission. Being accountable. There's probably a million things. The scripture's full of it. The Bible is one big book that says, and if I were to summarize it, you got to be disciplined. What happened to the rich man? He said, I want to be saved. All I got to do is be saved. Isn't it funny? Have you ever noticed that that's what the world maybe says now? You know, what do I got to do to be saved? They don't want to know what they have to do. They want to know what they can get away with. That's a fact. And Jesus said, well, you know, you got to keep all the commandments. And well, I've done all that. Great. Well, he perceived. So he said, now you got to go sell all you have and give it to the poor. You'd have to be pretty disciplined to do that. Did you get that? He was told, and if he wanted to be saved, he had to sell all of his wealth. Because the Lord knew what it meant to him. That takes discipline. Each one of us, we have different things we have to overcome. Different mountains, different obstacles. Our flesh is different. Our flesh desires different things. We live for different things. But there are sometimes the things that you've got to do, drastic measures that you've got to take because your soul can be in the balance. And discipline is everything. As a young youth leader, we had a thriving youth group when I was in Parma. And I'm going to tell you something. I could tell you, I could put a clock on every single one of those kids, everyone without fail. The moment they came of age where they could get a job, they all got jobs, and every one of them had to work Sunday. Always. Every child for years of being a youth leader. Every one. Do you know why? Because the devil knew, I can get you out of church easy. It just takes a little bit of money. They didn't have discipline in their life because they didn't have a mother and a father. Their home had fallen apart. There was probably a lot of running around, just do whatever, feel whatever. Now they want to be their own person. And now, I got to work. 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 Let me know how that sounds in the echo of a half-empty earth when the Lord returns. Let me know how it sounds. But a disciplined person. The disciple said to Jesus, we want to follow you. He said, great. He said, but you can't go back there and tend to your flock. You can't tend to your wife. You can't tend to your field. If you want to follow me, follow me. You can't go bury your father. You got to follow me. These aren't parables, folks. That wasn't a parable. He was saying, if you want to follow me, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to learn that there are some things you'll have to give up. There are some things you're going to have to walk away from. You have to understand the time and the season. You've got to be able to recognize the moment that's at hand. Who sent me that text message today about it's, realizing something could pass you by? Who was that? Come on, I know you're you. That's right. Well said. You should tell her to send her text to you. She talked about that very thing. And my mind's too scatterbrained to try and remember what it all was now. But it was in the very same point that I realized she'd read something in the scripture and it could pass me by. And once it's gone, it's gone. That's very true. It's scriptural. For everything under heaven, there's a time and a season. There's a time for your healing. There's a time sometimes for your miracle. There's a time for your answer. And if you're not there, we had a pastor's wife, I told you this, because my wife's new favorite word. She said, I just decided, I don't care what everybody else in the world is doing. When the Lord comes back, I want to be at my post. If that means my post is teaching a Bible study, if it's in the prayer room, if my post is at the pulpit, if my post is driving the church van, whatever it is, when the Lord comes back, I want to be at my post. It kind of shook me, and I know it shook her. It impacted us. What powerful words. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I want to be at my post. And you got to be disciplined to be at your post. Somebody on Sunday. I'm not saying this to pick on them. Oh, there's my note I'm supposed to talk about. Well, that's a good time to bring it up. You know how many parents, Brother Jerry, called me in the past week to tell me of pornography and of conversations with other young teenage girls, with other guys, giving them their addresses out, all this kind of stuff? Can I ask y'all a question? You're going to get so mad at me. When are you going to get smart enough to take your kids' phones away until they're responsible enough to have one? I just look. I see who's clapping. I know whose kids got phones. We were at a store, I don't know, a week ago. And am I boring you? Am I okay? You shouldn't complain because I heard the credit card machine wasn't working. The whatever it was. So some of y'all didn't get to give any offering anyway. So you sit here longer. And this mother's in Starbucks. I was getting my cherished old chai tea latte. And I'm waiting, and she's got three little girls, and they couldn't have been. I mean, they had to be 5, maybe 7, maybe 8, all three of them that age. And they got their big giant phone sticking out of their back pocket. It was bigger than their whole hind end. One little girl sat there, couldn't put her foot. No, the whole time she sat there. And I said, that disgusts me. They're already setting the stage for those kids. And I'm on. Okay. Listen. You can be naive if you want to. But I am telling you, I don't care if your child is the star in the church choir and if they're teaching Sunday school and they can quote all the Bible verses in the world, you put temptation in front of them. You know how many things my kids have come home from school with? Asking questions, and you're like, where'd you hear that? But not just hear that, but also some of life. You know where they get all that junk from? They're Googling it. To the tip of your fingers. I loved the hell phone comment. I don't think you were here. It was in Ashtabula. Was it here, Ashtabula? Brother Crowder called it the hell phone. That would be about right. Come on, folks. Every one of us parents sitting here, we grew up and we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have to have a phone in case we had to call mom or dad. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time for that, and I know you don't like when I get in your business. I understand that. Everybody gets all uptight. You get in their business. You're only supposed to preach to the flesh, not to the life. I forgot. I apologize. But how many times do we got to let our kids get caught in stuff? Now, my oldest has a phone, and he knows. Anytime I want to, I'm in it. I'll walk up just in the middle of the day. Let me have your phone. He's like, there you go. Now, I don't know if he's ever looked at something he shouldn't have. I don't know. I haven't caught him. But we waited until there was a time, and we decided, okay, now's the time. It ain't 5. It's not 7. It's not 10. You're too young. Their minds cannot process. And they come on, how many of us, when email first come out, you'd open up your email and all these advertisements popped up. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Now, can I have some honesty? see how many of y'all clicked on them once in a while. There's a few. Thank you for the honest people. Temptation. Listen, if we're going to raise our children in the fear of the Lord, we've got to teach them discipline. I'm not suggesting that you're not. I'm not saying because your kid may have a phone that you don't teach them discipline. But what I am saying is even the best. One of the phone calls I got was from one of our precious young girls. She's doing great serving God. Great. Fantastic. You know, I even thought about her as maybe a leadership of the year deal. And she got herself wrapped up in some stuff and was talking to some people she shouldn't have talked to, because that's the way sin works. It ropes you in. It doesn't take long. You know, it doesn't matter how godly you are. And if we were really honest with ourselves, we know that's true, because we've all been down that road when it comes to the internet. We've all clicked on something we know we shouldn't have. Oh no, my hubby would never do that. Bible said Elijah was a man of like passions. And he was a man of God. I'll move on. So, the scripture teaches us to be a disciple of the Lord. It means to live a disciplined life. I hope that you walk away from this and you'll look at your life with me. And you'll find out where you can fine-tune your life and where you can discipline it, because it will enhance your walk with God. Self-discipline only enhances your walk with God. You know why a lot of people can't be self-employed? They got zero discipline. They'd be up at 10:30 every day. Then they'd lounge around for the next 45 minutes to 4 hours. And then they'd go out and they'd hang out at the coffee shop and they'd, you know, do whatever. And then, you know, they might get an hour and a half worth of work in there while they're playing their phone with the other hand. I'm telling you, it's reality. Somebody tweeted and told Elon Musk that going into work is archaic. Read another study or something last week that people just feel that they can work so much better at home and they don't have to pay gas. And they don't have to, you know, and they're more productive and you know, they're not talking about watching TV and not talking about, you know, some can do that. Not many can do those, that kind of stuff, because they're not disciplined. We don't live in a disciplined world. Say whatever you want to say. I don't care. You don't live in a disciplined world. I owned a business and I know how people are. We don't live in a disciplined world. And so we have to be the masters of our own universe. I preached that years ago. We have got to learn how to master our flesh. We've got to learn how to master our wants. We've got to know when to say no. Do you know why we have so many overweight people in America? Because we're not disciplined. It's the truth. You know why we have so many alcoholics? Because we're not disciplined. You show me an alcoholic, I'll show you about somebody who has zero control over their life. Zero. They might be able to get up and go to work. That's not because they have control. It's because they know they need money. They at least got that much brains left. The only brain cells that weren't killed off. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm just being honest. Discipline. You know why we have a whole lot of Christians that will come up with every reason in the world why they can't pray or fast. Every reason. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. And in the age of everybody sick, I can't. I'll die if I fast. No, I can't. You can do anything you want to, because with God, all things are possible. Okay, so maybe you can't fast all day. You could probably fast and just eat yourself a couple crackers. You're diabetic, then eat yourself a little Hershey's bar somewhere. I'm not diabetic, so I don't know what you got to go through. But you don't have to eat steak. You don't have to go to McDonald's. You don't have to have pop. You don't have to have your mocha latte. Forgive me, Jesus, for saying that. Discipline. That's why fasting is so important to every Christian, because fasting teaches us discipline. It teaches us to discipline ourselves. We say no to the most important thing to the human body, food. In America, we love food. People love food. My wife listened to a lady talk one day, and the lady, she was some type of professional and something, I don't know what it was, and she said, the only reason we have food is it's meant to refuel our body. But we've turned food into luxuries, and we like the sugars and the sweets and all the good stuff and the cake and the frosting and the icing and the chocolate. Huh. Oh, Lord. I better move on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I read it on Sunday. I talked to you briefly about it, I think. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. That doesn't mean he gave some people apostles and some people prophets. It means he gave a portion of this, a portion of this, a portion of this, a portion of this. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. That means we are supposed to always get better at who we are as a child of God. We are supposed to be perfected in our lifestyle, perfecting in our knowledge, perfecting in what we do and how we do it for the Lord, unto the Lord. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Why? Because there's always going to be some disagreement somewhere. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, verse 14, you could just take that if you wanted to, and you can just morph that over to 2 Timothy. And you'll find out why we read 2 Timothy, the first seven verses. Why? Because their lives are just tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Everything it's said, it deceives them. It moves them. They're led by emotion. There's no discipline in their life. So the scripture says, I gave you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so you can become disciplined children of God. So you can become a disciple of the Lord. So you can understand what the life of a disciple is. So you can grow in the fullness of his measure, of his stature. And so you can be all that God has called you to be. And I gave the two, so you're no longer like children tossed to and fro with every wind and every doctrine and every word and every song. But speaking the truth in love. See, a disciplined child of God can receive truth. Not an undisciplined one. They get angry. If you get upset at the preached word, if it's truth, you got a problem. You lack discipline. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. You could just title this, Grow Up. Grow up, Anthony. He's working on it. What an answer. Which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I can say it to you this way. The body cannot increase without discipline. It cannot increase without self-discipline. It's not possible. I'll start to wrap this up. Something came to me after Brother Crowder was finishing up in Ashtabula on Sunday, and it was a powerful service. Did a fantastic job. It dawned on me that what makes his ministry so special is he takes all the options away. Here it is. I'm not going to give you these 97 ways to heaven. I'm not going to tell you, well, if you want to do that, it's okay. Jesus knows your heart. Well, if you believe that way, it's okay. Jesus knows your heart. All the options are taken away. And when all the options, I don't know about you, but do not send me to a restaurant with 50 choices on a menu. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. Most places I eat, if I go out, Jefferson Diner, they know, they'll walk up to me, 3 eggs over medium, one with bread you want, what's your hash browns, what's your bacon, extra crispy, okay. They bring me my tea, they set it down, bring me the honey and all that good stuff. I'm just boring. I'm plain. Give me the same thing every time. I don't like options. I don't like them. I mean, sometimes I do. But watch, the lack of discipline, if I'm boring you, I'm sorry, come play, help me out. It's the only time I can be that demanding to my wife, she can't say anything back. She's thinking in herself, you wait till you get home. And then, I'm going to say, honey, control your temper, be disciplined. Okay, so the lack of discipline in our world is what has caused so many Christians to seek alternative paths. I don't want to do this, so I'm going to go this way. You don't believe me? I don't like the church, so I go somewhere else. I don't like the music leader, so I go somewhere else. I don't like the preaching, I'll go somewhere else. All lack of discipline. And so the world now has sought all these alternative paths. He talked about all the religions. And I'm going to say it. I've said this before. But we can make ourselves feel good about this as much as we want to. But it's not just as long as you believe in Jesus. There's zero Bible for that. Zero. Well, we all believe in the same God. Really? I've never seen a Muslim that believes in my God. Well, tell me we all believe in the same God. But see, when you don't want discipline, when you don't want somebody telling you what to do or telling you what you can't do. You ever hear somebody say, well, that's why I don't go to church because all they do is tell you what you can't do. Well, first of all, congratulations. I don't want to tell anybody what you can't do. But I might tell you what you shouldn't do. And if you decide to do it anyway, you're probably going to wind up like a lot of other people backslidden away from God and on your way to hell. That's why we tell people what not to do. Not because we want to be dictators and tyrants. We don't want them falling into a state of undiscipline, and then the world just completely swallows them up. That's how you get swallowed up by the world. When you're not but when you're disciplined, you can have temptation right in front of your face. You're like, no, no. Oh, God, no, I can't go that way. No, sir. That's how you become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The way you walk away from things rather than entertain them is becoming a disciplined child of God. Listen, all the ways of a man are right in his own eyes. You'll justify anything you want to. Well, this doesn't matter. Well, it's not going to hurt me. Well, God doesn't really care. That's your alternative path because you're undisciplined. You're making up stories that aren't biblically based. But when we're disciplined, you know, I have people that come to me and they'll say, just tell me, Pastor. Just tell me what to do. That's all I want to know. Good. Whether it agrees with my flesh or not, whether I like it or not, I just want to know the truth. I want to know what's right. It's all I want to know. That's how you know you're getting some discipline. Am I boring you? Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The life of a disciple was disciplined, and they had a designated time to pray. They didn't say, well, if I get time. They didn't say, well, I got caught up in something. They had time. Every day, they set aside, and they prayed. And they went up to the together at the temple at the hour of prayer. Discipline. This was the life of a disciple. When you schedule prayer time, you take options away. If you don't schedule prayer time, something will always pop up. The devil will make sure of it. He'll make sure, but if you schedule prayer time, you know your schedules. You can't say, well, you don't, I'm just too busy. No, you're not. You're not too busy. So stop it. I watched a video of a lady come up. It was, what's a guy from the 70s. You know him. Maybe Dick Van Dyke. Is that who it was, Laura? Remember? Stop it. And she was having marital problems, and he said, I can fix your problems right now. She said, okay, tell me. He said, just stop it. And she jumped and said, what do you mean? He said, stop it. When you want to speak, just stop it. When you feel like, you know, just stop it. So you're just telling me just stop it. Yes, stop it. So if you're Bob Newhart, that's right. So if you want to be disciplined, just stop it. Well, Pastor, my friend, stop it. But I never get invited anywhere. Stop it. Stop making excuses. Just stop it. But you don't understand how angry he makes me. Stop it. Stop it. Discipline. Stop it, Kevin. Stop it. From now on, that's all you got to say. Lord, stop it. Somebody starts talking about somebody else, stop it. Discipline. I'm being a little funny. But when you schedule prayer time, you take away the options. Because options become excuses. And before you know it, you're slipping away from God. All because of a lack of discipline. The only thing that can cause you to fall away from God is a lack of discipline. Nothing else. Most people in the world that try to serve God, and I'm finishing, they love the Lord. They're sincere. But they lack discipline. And when you lack discipline, when options come up, that's why when I dated, I had one rule and I didn't break it. I don't care how pretty you are. If you're not in church serving God, I'm not even talking to you. Well, how do you know? You figure that one out. It wasn't easy. People know people. Now, I wasn't always the most disciplined person either. But I made that rule. And so it was never an option. Well, I'm gonna, maybe I could get her in church. No, that was never an option for me. You know, because I knew that was a line that I can't cross. Now, it took me years to figure out a system to remember things because I'm just a fast mover. My mind's always moving. And it took me years. I tried everything. I started with little scratch pads, and then I would just leave them everywhere. I never even had them with me to look at them, see what I wrote down. Then I would go to a day calendar. Well, that was a waste of time. You're driving down the road, something comes. How are you going to write in the day calendar? It just don't work. Then I got a voice recorder. I always forgot to listen to the messages. Nothing worked for me. But you know what I did? I kept working to try and discipline myself until I found something that worked. And thank God for the phone and the calendar. Because it works for me. It buzzes, it goes off. You look, oh my gosh, I forgot. If you're forgetful like me because you got a lot going on in life and we live in a busy world, you got to discipline yourself, find a way. We have to discipline ourselves when it comes to our prayer life. We have to discipline ourselves when it comes to the Word of God. We have to discipline ourselves when it comes to attendance in the house of God. We have to discipline ourselves when it comes to the altar. We have to discipline ourselves when it comes to prayer, to worship. The Bible says offer up a sacrifice of praise. Why? It takes discipline. Because half the time you won't feel like praising God. Oh, I just found out I'm gonna have a double bypass. I'm going to praise God? Yes, because you discipline yourself. It's good to see you in church tonight, Jeanette, because I would have done the same thing. You're crazy like me. So all I wanted to tell you tonight is the life of a disciple is a disciplined life. And if you're going to be all that God wants you to be, if you really want to please the Lord, and you really want God to use you, you've got to discipline yourself. There's no devil in hell can drag you away from God if you learn to be a disciplined child of God. There's no devil in hell that can interfere with what God is doing in your life if you learn to become disciplined. So I encourage you to look at every area of your life as God. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to get personal for a second. Our church is in the middle of a transition right now. And I've had this conversation with many people, and you know, some people don't understand the transition, and I've been trying to help people understand that little by little. But we're moving into an area where we've never really been, and many of you personally are. Some of you have to go from being the pupil to being a teacher. I start telling people it's time you stop, going to every Bible study you can and start teaching one. Find somebody now younger than you. It's your time. Change. Time for you now to start investing. But you got to discipline yourself for that. And so if you and I are going to, how do I want to say, go with God's flow, and you're going to be able to allow God to transition you during his designated time, then you need to understand how important discipline is. So stand with me. I don't know what your struggles are. But I'll just tell you this. If you just discipline yourself and discipline your walk with God, Now, some of you will say, tomorrow you're going to say, that's right, I'm going to set time aside to pray. And you're going to do it for a couple days and you're going to break it. That's all right. Keep fighting to get back on ski. I'm going to discipline myself. I don't sit there and whine because you failed. We all do that. Get back up and keep. That's what happens when you break, when you're trying to break the flesh. You ever have a dog? Try and break the dog of peeing in the house. You keep going back at it till they finally become disciplined. And they walk up and down the hallway at 6 o'clock in the morning with their toenails tapping on the floor. Because they want to go out. They don't want to go in the house. You got to get out of bed to do it. Thank God for my wife. I'm just being honest. She feels bad for him. I don't. I'm like, shut up and lay down until I get out of bed. Sit there and whine. You can hold it for a little longer. Discipline yourself. Go and preach his message to the dogs. I'd like us to pray together that the Lord would allow this simple word to settle where it needs to settle for each and every one of us. As God continues to do what he's doing, he keeps his word, he does his part. He brings increase. We have to keep going back to the drawing board, to the discipline, and keep working to discipline ourselves. Just don't stop going back to the drawing board. I don't care if you fall 1,000 times. Get back up and keep going. And just become determined. I'm going to discipline myself. Say no long enough. And eventually it won't get as hard as it used to be. Discipline. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you, gracious Father, for every person here. I thank you, God, for their sacrifice and their discipline to be in the house of God tonight. With all of my heart, I thank you for their love. I thank you, God, for everything they contribute. But I know that our flesh is our greatest adversary. And we've got to learn to master this flesh. And we ask you tonight to teach us, oh God, to be disciplined. Teach us to have our discipline and take it to another level. Teach us, God, to get victory over ourselves. Teach us how to organize small areas of our lives. We're growing up in an undisciplined world, and many have been raised in undisciplined homes. And it's a lifestyle of change, God, but with you all things are possible. And I'm here tonight to petition you, oh gracious Savior, to help us and teach us, God, that we would discipline ourselves, that we would please you, Lord, that we would be ready and we would occupy until Jesus comes for his church. And he comes for a church without spot or wrinkle because we have disciplined ourselves. We have washed our wedding garment and we have prepared ourselves and made ourselves available to the bride. And when we left, we put oil in our lamps because we were disciplined. We didn't leave our lamps half empty. We didn't just try to see how far we could go and what we've got, but we made sure we had a full tank because we do not know when the hour is that the Son of Man cometh. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place, and I pray that you help us tonight, oh God. Minister to us, Lord, that we might please you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? And all the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King, you will reign forever, and we will sing the glory of your name. We lift it high for all the world to see. Your name is all they need.
There is
no other name but Jesus. Jesus.
Yes, there is.
There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus.
There is freedom.
There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus.
There is freedom.
There is freedom in the name. There is healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap, could we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The scripture says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That means we've got to be disciplined to say no. But when you learn to discipline yourself, God can do anything in your life, and you'll go wherever He sends you. You'll do whatever He asks of you. You'll give whatever He requires of you. Because we've learned to discipline ourselves. Brother Jerry, would you pray for us?
Gracious Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for Your Spirit, Lord, and we thank You for this word. Help us, Jesus, each day, Lord, be disciples, Lord, of You. That requires discipline. Discipline, Lord, in our walk with You and our reading of Your word, in our prayer time, Lord. May we make that time, set aside that time each day. Nothing's more important, Lord, than that time spent with You. Help us, Jesus, Lord, balance, Lord, all the things we have in this life. Those things, Lord, that chew up our time. Those things that take away from You, Lord, give us the discipline, Lord, to cut them out of our life. Because, Lord, we know time is short. The kingdom of God is at hand, Lord, and there's a world that's lost and looking for You. Lord, help us, Jesus, Lord, in that discipline in our lives, Lord, in that spirit of evangelism. May we, as we go about our day, Lord, may we share this gospel with this lost and dying world. May we make it purposely, Lord, to share the name of Jesus to co-workers, friends, and family. Lord, they're looking for something, Lord, and they're turned to everything in this world. Help us, Lord, that this discipline, Lord, that we need in our life, Lord. Help us share it with others, Lord, and, Lord, draw them closer to You. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for tomorrow, Lord. We know that You hold tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, but we know You have something great, Lord, if You give us the breath of life in our body. We give You glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.